Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Okay. You know, we've been looking at the Belief series now for 20 weeks. We're into the 21st week today. The first 10 weeks dealt with some Christian core beliefs that are drawn from the Bible, and then we shifted focus to 10 practices. What do we put in place now as we live our lives in this world? And through these core beliefs and through these practices that we put into place into our lives as Christians, by working through this process, by studying God's Word, by knowing those beliefs, by putting these things into practice, hopefully now these virtues that we're going to talk about help us become more of a Christian. And I hate to word it that way, but we mature in our faith to the point that we begin to see some of these attributes of a Christian coming into play in our own daily lives. And what we're going to look at is basically the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23 say, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." And so as we're going to look through these, we're starting with love today, and we're going to go through all of these, but we're going to group kindness and goodness together. So that leaves 8. So we got to come up with 2 more somewhere. So they put in hope and humility in there with this. But this morning, we're going to, as I talked with our children here this morning, we're going to look at this virtue of love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we certainly do give you thanks for this day, and Lord, for our time here together now to experience your love. Lord, we are so thankful that you did show your love to us while we did not deserve it at all. And Lord, we pray that as we turn to your word this morning, that we can see clearly that your love for us is unconditional, and that somehow, in some way, that we can express this virtue of love in our lives to the people around us. We ask now that you would block out just a few of the distractions that might be going on in our minds right now so that we can focus on your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like for you to visualize for a moment this situation. You have a co-worker who is, I mean, there's really no other way to put it, but they are probably the biggest jerk that you've ever been around. Okay, and maybe some of you are already visualizing that exact person that you know. But I mean, nothing you do is right. Everything they do is right, and what you do is wrong. They criticize everything that you do. They don't get along with anyone. And to top it all off, if there's ever anything that the boss or someone comes in and says, "Oh, great job, that looks great," who takes the credit? That person. Even though they had absolutely nothing at all to do with it. Are you with me? Are you thinking of that? A lot of people are smiling. Maybe you must have that person or experienced that before. But one day, this person comes into work, and you sense that something is horribly wrong. I mean, it looks like they've just crawled out of bed, their shirt tail or their dress is all out of whack, their hair is messed up, it looks like they're exhausted, and they don't say a word. They don't have anything to say at all. They just go off to themselves. They may sit in their office, and you have absolutely no idea what is going on. And you finally hear that yesterday, that person, the day before, that person went to the doctor and found out they had a terminal illness. All of your coworkers, everyone around you is saying what? They get what they deserve. What goes around comes around. What do? Do you join in with the same thought process as all of those coworkers? Or do you do something else? I'm going to say that what we're talking about today that we see in Jesus, unconditional love, is not what we see in the world today. In fact, I'm going to say that the love that we see today, we've been taught from worldly perspectives that love is conditional. We love people based on what they do. We love people based on their performance. People get places by who they know, how they look, what they have. And we try our hardest to fit in and to be loved by some of these same things. And that's okay as long as that's maybe out in the world. But the problem is, where do we let that trickle into? We let that trickle into our spiritual thinking, our biblical thinking. We let that try to influence who we are as a Christian. And we think that, you know, and we've probably even been told this before, if you really want God to love you, you need to get this out of your life. Or if you do this or if you do that, what is God going to do? He's going to bless you so abundantly you won't even know which way to turn. We're taught that in the world. We're taught that love is conditional. But not in Christianity. Maybe in other world religions, because everybody in all the other world religions, they're trying to follow these five steps, or they're trying to appease this particular God so he won't bring wrath upon them. But not in Christianity. We have a God who loves us unconditionally. I mean, we see it all through the Bible, through the Old Testament, our Old Testament reading for this morning. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 says, "It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all people." I mean, when God chose the Israelite people to be his people, he didn't go out and look for the strongest, the most in number, greatest people of all. He chose the least. He chose the weakest, and we see this all through Scripture where he chooses the most unlikely person to use and uses them in a mighty and powerful way. Do you think God chose you because you're so great? You know what? He didn't. He didn't choose us because we were better than the other person. Or if you hear people say, if you ask people, how do you get to heaven? They say, be a good person. Well, what is that? He didn't choose us because we were so good. He didn't choose us because we were strong. He didn't choose us because we were the best looking. He chose us because he wanted to. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, God shows his love in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. His love for us has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with what we've done, what we are doing right now, or what we will do. He loves us unconditionally. I was just looking at that Confession and Absolution song, God loves us so, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. So as we live our lives now as Christians in this world, we talked about in Bible class, we are never going to be perfect at expressing love to people. We hope we see some glimpses of that, right? But we're never going to be perfect. But as we look at God's perfect love for us, there are three characteristics of that love that hopefully as we study, as we mature in the faith, we begin to see some of those attributes flowing out of our heart into the lives and for the lives of others. And the first one is, I've already mentioned the word several times, and I mentioned it to the children. It's unconditional love. We've already discussed that. The love that we have from God is not because we deserve it. It's not because of anything we've done. He just chose to love us. And we're going to talk about this in Eric's ordination service this afternoon. For God so loved the world. Not who he thought needed to be loved, or not this particular group or that particular group. But he loved the entire world unconditionally, equally. And I've mentioned it before, when we begin to see people, every person as a sinner, regardless of what you have, how you look, who you are, that levels the playing field where every single person is equal. And God loves everyone. His love is unconditional. The second one is, his love is sacrificial. Now, when I think of a sacrifice, for some reason, I don't know why, I automatically think of cost. How many of you have ever heard someone say, "Oh, it's free. It doesn't cost a thing." Oh, yeah? It might be free to somebody, but it certainly costs someone else something, right? I mean, I would be willing to say that unless you can show me somewhere and on paper, you can prove to me, I'm a skepticism on this or a pessimist on this, there's absolutely nothing that's free. It costs someone something. And when I think about Jesus' sacrificial love, or God's sacrificial love for us, it cost Jesus dearly. It cost him his entire life to come into the world, to leave the joys of heaven, the throne of God, and to come into our dirty, filthy world and to suffer and to die on the cross. It cost him everything. His love is sacrificial. And third, his love is forgiving. His unconditional sacrificial love brings us the benefit. The cost that he paid brings us the freedom that we have. What we have, the forgiveness in life that we have, is absolutely free to us. But it cost Jesus his life. His love is forgiving. It keeps no record of the wrongs that we've done. He forgives us, even if we think we've done the most horrible sin that there is to do. He forgives. Now, certainly there's probably some worldly and earthly consequences to those sins. But God forgives them through Jesus. And so, I guess the question is, what does this mean for us? If we think about our core Christian beliefs, if we think about the practices that we want to put in place to live out our Christian life, hopefully, some of this fruit of the Spirit, this love, hopefully we begin to see some of that flowing out of our lives to the lives of others. Is it a process? Certainly. Are we ever going to be perfect at it? Absolutely not. In fact, part of this series is kind of shown as to be like Jesus. Are you kidding me? Are we ever going to be like Jesus? Well, I told the Bible class, if we are, you know what's happened, don't you? The end of the world has come. We will on that day. But until then, we're going to be imperfect human beings trying to live our lives in a God-pleasing way. And hopefully, through some of our words, some of our actions, we're going to experience and be able to flow out of our hearts some of this unconditional love. Loving people not because of what they've done or even what they've done to us, but loving them because God loves them. Hopefully, we might even have to sacrifice something, our reputation, or sacrifice, hopefully, at least not in the near future, our entire life, but there's going to be sacrifices at times that we have to be willing to take to show God's love to people. And forgiving. We are able to forgive in some way, a little bit of the way God has forgiven us. Certainly not that we'll ever do it all. It can be a process that we work on as we mature in our faith. And that's what these virtues are. As we walk with the Lord, as we study His Word, as we gather together as a church body, as we get the encouragement from each other, we pray that some of these virtues, and especially this one, love, will begin to flow from our hearts out to the lives of people who are hurting, who are dying, and need to know Jesus. I just skipped right over the Bible verse for today and the memory point. But the key verse for today really sums everything up for us. If you would read this with me, this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Can we switch? There we go. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. I always forget that part. Go back to that for a second, though, that last screen. The very last, yeah, there we go. We see right here, I believe, at the end of this verse, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. I think we see that how God's love in us is a process. It's going to be made complete. And in the epistle reading for today, we see dimly, and one day we're going to see clearly. All of this points to the fact that our Christian walk is a process. That we're living in, and hopefully we see it mature as we live our lives in this world. And finally, our key point for today on love, if we can go to that screen, I think, yes. Say this with me. I am committed to loving God and loving others. I think that's all we can ask. Is that as we live our lives in this world as a Christian, knowing we're never going to be perfect, but we are committed to love God and to love others. As He sums it up in the greatest commandment of all, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.